tonight's video, we got a story about a park ranger in the state of California at the Yosemite National Park, where he encounters this creature that attacks him behind his ranger station when he hears these weird, childlike screams. Then we are heading off to the park at night, where a couple of friends encounter this weird individual that stalks them. Then we head to the country of Canada, in the area of Toronto, where this backpacker is out solo camping by a lake, but he is not alone. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Campfire Tales. I figured this would be the best place, if any, for this story to be told, as I have been listening to you for the past couple of years. I've been working up in Yosemite National Park for the past decade. You hear different myths and legends coming from the people that not only work here, but also from people who camp. From seeing cryptids such as the Bigfoot, to the Dogman, to the Wendigo, Skinwalker, and so on. But truly, I have never seen anything until this one particular day. I was just on my daily shift, nothing out of the ordinary. It was between the hours of 3 and 5 p.m. It was a weekday, and not a very busy day at that, as most people come here over the weekends. I parked my vehicle over at the park ranger station, got out, and I was about to head inside when I thought that I heard a child scream in the distance behind the building. The scream didn't sound like it was very close by, but it was still audible to know it was somewhere close. I went around the back of the building just to make sure that there wasn't a fight broke out or something wasn't happening to some child. Once I rounded the corner towards the back of the building, that is when I noticed there was a small man-made trail somewhere leading off in the distance into the trees. Again, that is when I heard the scream echoing behind the trees, somewhere off in that direction. Gave me the chills, but also worry. What if a child was being attacked by a bear, by a mountain lion, by a coyote, another human being? It doesn't matter. It is a child. I radioed in on my walkie-talkie that I was going to check it out real quick and I'll be back in 10. I started walking on the path, and after about 10 minutes of walking, I came across this clearing. At this point, I was deep into the woods, and to find a clearing that is supposedly man-made because I had never seen this trail before behind the building. And that is when I saw, I thought was a child, bending over away from me, hunched over like it was crying on all fours. But something wasn't right about this child that I saw in front of me in the distance. As I continued to walk closer, trying to speak out to the child to see if they were all right and if they needed assistance, where was your parents, questions like that. That is when, all of a sudden, the crying sounds ceased. Not only was this kid no longer crying and shouting, but everything around me went completely quiet. I had noticed that the child's clothing was also very dirty and torn up like, muddy, stained, old. Of course, this child was in front of me, but was not close by. But I could see how messed up this child's clothing had looked from that distance. When the child slowly stood up on its legs, that's when I heard the weird cracking noises. Like the bones were popping out of their sockets, or popping into socket. Like the bones had not grown properly and they were snapping at each movement that this child made. When this child was fully erect, I didn't realize how tall this child was. It was no child. This thing was about 5'5". But the screams and crying sounded like it came from a 5-year-old girl. When it slowly turned its head looking directly at me, that is when I noticed what I was looking at was no child and no teenager at all. It was something else. It had a grin across its face from ear to ear, something abnormally stretched that did not belong to a human's face. Its eyes were bloodshot, almost a crimson color. Its chin was elongated, something abnormally long that you would only see in a horror movie. This was some kind of abomination creature, imitating a small young child to lure me out in the middle of nowhere behind the ranger station to do God knows what. At this point, I totally took off. There were no more words exchanged from my end. I turned around and ran as fast as I possibly could back to the Rangers building. While I was running, my heart beating out of my chest, it felt like I was going to pass out. Me being a smoker of the past 15 years will do that to you. And as I'm running, I could hear this thing screaming out to me in its 5-year-old girl's voice saying, "Stop! Come back!" echoing through the trees all around me. And I knew for a fact that this thing was going to attack me and it was going to try to eat me. Something had told me that that abomination was pure evil. Once I had arrived back at the ranger station, I was completely out of breath. I got inside the ranger station, trying to explain myself to the other people that were on shift with me. I was hesitant at first, but a couple of them wanted me to show them what I was talking about. I did not want to go back there, but I figured with a couple other guys and myself, we could handle whatever this frickin' creature was. We slowly made our way into the woods behind the building once again. Once we had reached the clearing, the creature was gone. There was no sign of it anywhere. And the natural woods environment noises had already returned. It was as if everything was normal. But there's still two questions that remained. Who made that trail in clearing? And what the hell was that monster? This was a year ago, and I need help figuring out what I experienced. One day, my friend, 16 male, and I, 16 female, decided to go to the park around 6 p.m. It was the middle of November in Ontario, Canada, so the sun sets quite early in the day. My city is full of forests and rivers and hills, but also has a good city portion to the south. No snow was on the ground, though it would be 2 degrees Celsius, 35.6 degrees Fahrenheit, and there was fall leaves everywhere. Some more context was that I had always believed in these creatures, and even spent some time north speaking and making some friends with indigenous people when I was young. So to the story, we stayed at this park which was only 10 minutes from my house. It was a neighborhood park, but there was forest surrounding the backyards of the exterior houses. It got really dark, and the park didn't have a street lamp. There was a basketball court just beside the park connected by a path, which was also pitch black. My friend and I were sitting at the playset just talking as it got really cold out. Nearing 9 p.m., we started to plan to go home. Before we actually got up, this guy emerged from the path to the basketball court and just stared at us. But since it was dark, we could only see his silhouette, and he could probably only see ours too. He stared at us for what felt like 3 minutes, until he took out what looked like a phone and pretended to be on it. It didn't even turn on. He was like not far from us at all. He stared at it for another few seconds, until he started walking towards the street where there was lights. As he walked past us, the light started making his features more visible. The thing is, it didn't really look like he had any. No hair, no nose, nothing. But that could have been the angle. He walked to the sidewalk and just left. My friend and I agreed that we should leave because it was creepy as F. We took the short way, which was a path towards the main street. As we walked through the small and dark path, I turned on my flashlight on my phone, and my friend told me to shut it off. I did that almost immediately. We reached the main street and stood at the set of lights, just waiting our turn. the sight of cars passing by didn't give me any relief. We crossed the street and went into my neighborhood. There were two possible ways home. The long way that goes all around my neighborhood, and the short way which goes right up to my house with only one turn. We chose the long way to make sure we weren't being followed. We didn't want this creep and possible killer getting to my house and stalking me further. We only walked for like 30 seconds, but then I got this sick to my stomach feeling. I felt like my energy was being sucked out of my body. I felt like vomiting. I felt such dread, like this was where I was going to die if I was going to take another step further. It was completely quiet other than my breathing picking up. I started sweating, but I was freezing cold. I looked to my friend and asked if we could just turn around and go straight home. He immediately agreed, and we started walking super fast. I couldn't run. The feeling in my stomach was so strong and I felt so weak. The thought of, "I'm going to die," repeated in my head. I wanted to cry. My friend seemed to have the same feelings as me. We were speed walking so fast, the wind rushed up all around my ears. I turned around to make sure nothing was there, but it was completely empty. Something was there, though. I felt it. I felt like he or it was watching us. After we turned the one corner, I could see my house just down the street. I kept hearing leaves crunching in the distance every once in a while, though it was mostly silent. As we got closer to my house, the feeling of dread got stronger and now tears came out of my eyes. My eyes were stinging. We got to my house and slammed the door and locked it. My mom offered us food, but we both denied it because of the vomit feeling we both had. While my friend waited in my family room on the second floor that faced the street, I sat on the floor in the bathroom dry heaving. The feeling went away a bit, and I came out of the washroom and met my friend in the family room. The curtains were open, and I stared at the other side of the street. The strong feeling came back, and my nose and eyes started stinging again. I shut the curtains and sat on the floor, completely out of sight from my window. My friend went home and I hid in my bedroom. The next day, I woke up for school. I had to walk 40 minutes to school that day because I had no ride. As I was getting ready, my phone rang and it was a different friend who had lived at the edge of the woods. She asked me if my boyfriend could pick her up on our way to school. I asked her why and she responded, "I don't know. I opened my curtains and I got this feeling. I don't feel good. It feels like something is watching me. Can you just please pick me up?" I agreed, but then told her mine and my friend's experience the night before. I don't know what happened that night or what that thing was. I completely forgot about it for a year until the day I told my old friend what had happened that night. As I am typing this, my eyes are watering and I keep getting chills. Even though I forgot, now I remember it so clearly. Could I have died that night? Would I be dead if I didn't listen to my instincts? I know I will never go out at night again. Can anybody help me out? Was this a Wendigo? What was it? When I was 22, back in 1985, I decided to go on a camping trip in Northern Ontario. Back then, I was finishing up college at the University of Toronto. I had taken a gap year after high school to travel the world, much to my dismay of my parents. I'd been very familiar with hiking and backpacking, so going camping was very comfortable territory. It was early fall, and I wanted to relax before my last year of college got rolling again. The leaves on the streets had started to change, and I knew it would be perfect for camping. I let my friends and family know where I was going, and I was on my way. The drive wasn't too long. Thankfully, living in Toronto meant I had only a few hours away from the greatest parks in the world, parks like Algonquin Provincial Park. I got there in the early morning. It was as beautiful as I had been told. I had been camping many places, but I hadn't been here yet. People at school would always tell me that I should head up there, but I never could find the time. I rented a canoe for the 2 days I'd been there, plopped my gear into the boat, and started paddling. It started out well, calming in fact. The water was so smooth it looked like I was paddling along a mirror. The silence was almost overwhelming. Occasionally I'd hear a loon's call, but other than that, nothing else. I paddled until I came to a portage. It's a point along a river or lake where you have to carry your canoe and gear across land to get to the next lake. There was two people there, a father and his teenage son. I talked with them a few minutes when I gathered up my things. They mentioned that they were staying at a campsite on the next lake. I said that I was staying at the same lake. Something was off about the teen, though. He never said a word, just stared at me. He never blinked once. His eyes were green, and he stared at me with such ferocity. It felt like he was staring through my soul. I tried not to look at him. Even just talking to the father, I could feel his gaze. The father introduced him as Johnny, and introduced himself as Frank. I picked up my canoe and said goodbye, walking as fast as I could down the trail. After the portage, it was only about 2 hours of paddling until I got to my campsite. I set up just as I had 100 times before. My tent was at a perfect spot, on a short cliffside overlooking the lake. There was a loom floating in the middle. The sight looked so beautiful. In college, I was studying photography. I had a big project coming up, and I knew if I could have this shot in my portfolio, I could really knock the project out of the park. I reached into my rucksack and felt around for my camera. I pulled it out and started taking shots, one after another, clicking the shutter and rotating the film. After about 10 shots, I figured I had enough. I spun around and took some more shots of my camp. I spent the rest of the night lighting a fire, cooking some hot dogs, and taking in the scenery. I'll never forget the way the night sky looked. Clear, not a single cloud in the sky, and since I was so far north, the stars were plentiful. The lake was calm, and with all the stars in the sky, I couldn't tell where the lake started and where the sky began. I could only wish my camera could truly capture its beauty. As my fire began to die down, I began to feel uncomfortable. I felt overwhelmingly uneasy, as if someone had been watching me. I stood up and spun around, my flashlight scanning the outskirts of my camp. I knew something was there, I just knew it. I heard a crack. I spun to my left, and there it was. Just a deer. I sighed in relief. I never felt right about that teenager I saw earlier that day, and I felt worried that he may have followed me or something. I unzipped my tent and climbed in, making sure to zip up the door behind me. Tired, I climbed into my sleeping bag and fell asleep almost instantly. Paddling really takes up a lot of energy, who knew? I woke up as the sun was coming up over the trees to the east. I got out of my tent hoping to see the sunrise. I knew I didn't want to miss it. As I climbed out of the tent, something was off. Over to my right, I noticed my camera hanging from a low hanging branch on a tree. Did I leave it there? I thought I put it back in my bag. Or did I? I was so tired that night, maybe I forgot. I looked around some more, but I didn't notice anything else out of place. Surely, if something was, then my camp would look different, right? I pushed the thought out of my mind. I grabbed my camera and took a couple more shots of my camp. The early morning rays were creating some wonderful lighting. There was no way I wasn't going to take more pictures. I made some breakfast and coffee, packed up my things, and I started paddling back out of the park. After going back through the portage and returning the canoe, I started on my drive back to my apartment in Toronto. I was excited to get back. I wanted to develop my pictures I took. I was hoping they came out great. I got home late afternoon, threw my rucksack in the apartment, and ran back down the stairs. I knew the school's dark room was open for a few more hours, and I wanted to develop the pictures before it closed. I got there only 20 minutes after leaving my apartment. I couldn't wait to see the pictures. The first picture started fading in. It was the shot overlooking the lake. I signed in relief. It looked gorgeous. The color of the fall leaves, the calm water, and even the loon made it into the shot. I was so pleased. Everything was perfect. I stared at the photo for a few more minutes, then moved on to the next. More pictures started fading in first, the shots of the campsite, the campfire, the bench, the surrounding trees, and then I stopped. Something was in one of the shots. In the background, poking out from behind a tree, was a head. It was the boy, Johnny, the one I had met at the portage. I felt nauseous, was the feeling I had before I went to bed, right? How long had he been there? I rubbed my eyes, hoping I was only seeing something. Maybe I was mistaking natural effects as a head. Nothing. It was still there. The next picture started fading in. It was my tent at night. My camera's flash had lit up the tent and the surrounding ground. When did I take this picture? I don't remember taking this, I said out loud. Then I remembered. My camera, the next morning, hanging up on the tree. I fell to the ground, clutching my chest. My heart was pounding so fast. That damn boy, I thought. He took my camera and watched me? I dreaded developing the last picture. I prayed, hoping this next would be the ones I took the next morning. The picture started fading in. It felt like an eternity. My anticipation was killing me. Slowly, the picture started taking shape. Slowly, I saw it. I audibly screamed. My nightmare had become a reality. For the picture was me, asleep in my sleeping bag inside my tent. I felt incredibly uneasy. I vomited on the ground in front of me. The fear I felt was greater than anything I felt before. I gathered up the pictures and ran home to my apartment. I called up the park and immediately started to explain to them what happened. I was frantic, practically screaming on the phone. The ranger on the phone yelled and told me to calm down and slowly explain it. I told him everything. The trip, the boy, the pictures, everything. I told them that they were staying at the same lake, and I told them their names. The ranger told me to hold on while he checked his files. Once back on the phone, he said, "Is this some sort of prank?" I was dumbfounded. "No, of course not." I was scared and frustrated. How dare he suggest I was lying? "This sort of thing isn't funny, and it's a waste of my time, quite frankly," he said. "I'm not lying, you turd. It's the truth," I screamed into the phone. "Whatever. There's no Frank or Johnny on file here. No one except you that stayed at the lake yesterday. No one was staying within miles of you. Goodbye." He hung up the phone. I sat down on my bed, confused and frightened at what just happened. To this day, I refuse to enter the park and warn anyone who dares to enter.